Chapter 82, The Procession of Glory. "She isn't in town," Jen informed Mirelle once they arrived in Embrace on horses Jen had paid for with conjured money. "She's just north of here, a couple of miles. We're almost there." Dusk had fallen on the dirty, noisy town packed with pilgrims. Jen thought the chaos was worse than when he and Cadean had travelled through just days before. He figured that every merchant from any town within reasonable distance had come to take advantage of the mob, and the overworked elderfair had lost the war against the drunken rowdy. Jen and Mirelle's path led out of the city and toward the manor house of Regent Feldebrin, who lived down a country lane walled by trees. Even here, many of the pilgrims waiting for their chance to pass through the portal had set up crude camps among the tree boles, small fires weaving their smoke through the forest and across the lane. "This is a mess," Mirelle commented. "I wonder that Feldebrin has let it spiral so far out of control." "The church appears to be in control, or not in control," Jen observed. "Since this is the closest portal to Echo Hold, I'm guessing Aethon wanted a stranglehold on it. I haven't seen any soldiers dressed in the colours of the regent."
"We'll need to change that," Mirelle said. "I've been wondering who has been in charge since Eldaloth's supposed return. I hunger for news. My mind needs something to work on besides you. Can you put me back to normal now, please? I miss my hair."
"I thought the Shalane might enjoy seeing how well I cut hair with a knife," he said.
"And I might enjoy giving you another kiss you can't forget," she returned.
"You win."
"I really haven't."
The pilgrims lining the road thinned as they proceeded farther along the curved, forested road. The lighted windows of the manor house, perched on a low hill, winked in and out between the trees as they dismounted and walked the horses to rest them. A cool breeze in the twilight brought relief from a hot day of hard travel that had exhausted both them and the animals. Once they were sure that there were no prying eyes, Jen restored Mirelle's long hair and used Triss magic to create a more regal riding dress that befitted her station. He changed himself back to Amos, complete with his wide-brimmed hat.
"I hate that hat," Mirelle commented.
"So does the Shalane," Jen replied, "but it is necessary."
"Not for long."
The call of the Silver Loon greeted them, and Jen stopped.
"Maywen is here. Let's tie the horses and find her."
"How do you know that?" Mirelle asked.
"The bird trill we just heard. That bird does not frequent this area of Keyhole. It's a signal we've used before."
They secured the horses to a tree branch and walked into the dimming woods. Unlike the Black Forest, the woods around Embrace were cleared of fallen branches and brush, and instead of densely packed pines, majestic oaks and maples rose into the air. Maywen stood on the stump of a recently sawed tree, leaning on her longbow and regarding them both with pleasure.
"Well met," she said. "I feared to tell the Shalane that Jen neared until I was sure he had you with him, Mirelle. But I see it was not without trouble. Cadean has fallen, then?"
"Yes," Mirelle confirmed.
"I feel for you," Maywen said,
placing her hand on Mirelle's arm.
"But I rejoice that you have come. You and Jen are needed, and the time is short. Jen, I do not think you can maintain your disguise. Events of a serious nature have occurred in your absence, and your knowledge and power are needed now."
"Jen and I have a scheme ready," Mirelle said. "But tell us what has happened."
The more Maywen talked, the more alarmed Jen became. Ethrys was dead. Mikik had bled the Shalane and created a weapon of immense power, and the Dark God only needed to dupe someone not of his creation to walk into Elder Lurimora and use it. Time was indeed short.
"To add to our difficulties," Maywen continued, "the church has spies and soldiers all over. They are well aware that the Shalane is visiting with Regent Feldebrin and are probably aware of why. I've killed two spies who came onto the regent's land, which I doubt will foster goodwill. Falael returned yesterday from scouting to Mikmir. Mikik has set a padra on each of the thrones of the three nations, and each stronghold is held by a sizable force. Mikmir is no exception."
Mirelle shook her head.
"Mikik has run this little ploy of his expertly. This is dire news."
"It gets worse," Maywen continued. "Lord Kildan returned to his homeland and was immediately arrested by the Elderfair and killed as a traitor."
"No,"
Jen and Mirelle said in unison.
"His sons found out about 3 hours ago and are eager for some kind of revenge. But the most intriguing news to come this evening was of your escape and an invitation from Eldaroth. Well, Mikik.
He has invited anyone who formerly claimed right of leadership or nobility in any of the nations to join him on a procession of glory led by the new pontiff, Ethan.
Procession of glory? Mirelle asked. Sounds overly dramatic and pretentious. What is it?
She reached into her pouch and pulled out a piece of parchment.
Read it for yourself.
To the esteemed Lord Feldebrin, to celebrate the healing of Eldoloth from the wound cruelly inflicted upon him by the Ilk, you, in view of your past service to the prophecy, are invited to join a procession of glory. Eldoloth and Pontiff Athan will lead to Elder Lurimora those whose leadership during the hard months before the rebirth proved critical in defeating Mikkik and his allies. With his power fully restored, Eldoloth will march to Elder Lurimora and restore Kihol to a wholeness that has not been since Mikkik struck him down. You are privileged to be called up to join the company to witness these events firsthand, and join in a celebration the likes of which you will never forget. All those wishing to join this procession of glory to see Kihol restored should report to Echo Hold on the 7th day following the next. Food and provisions will be provided for you, but you should provide your own horses and raiment. May Eldoloth continue to bless us with his glorious return.
This is outrageous, Mirelle said. The regents and nobles and warlords cannot be stupid enough to fall for this. He'll kill them all and the world will be leaderless, Mirelle exclaimed.
Mirelle, Jen said gently, remember that you have seen nothing but hardship since the fraudulent return. You have spoken with Mikkik himself and nearly been killed. Most of the people have been rejoicing and feasting for days. This is just more good news to fuel their celebration. We need a way to awaken them. I'm not sure our little plan will be enough.
What is it that you propose? Maywen asked.
The return of Aldredan Mikmir, Mirelle said.
He's dead, Mirelle, Maywen replied, face sceptical. I buried him.
That is true, but if Mikkik can assume someone else's identity to lead people around like sheep, then we can do the same. The legend of Aldredan Mikmir runs through all the peoples of Kihol. He was a warrior, he was a magician, and he came at a time of dire need. Mirelle pointed a finger at Jen. Sound familiar?
Maywen's eyebrows raised, and a smile slowly formed on her lips. That is the most ridiculous and wonderful thing I have heard in a long while. But there isn't a lot of time. Even with Jen's power, he just can't cleanse Mikmir of Elderfair and church soldiers by himself. Even the company of soldiers we have brought out of Blackshear would be insufficient. We have 6 days before this procession of glory moves out of Echo Hold. In 4 days' march, they can be on the shores of Elder Lurimora.
It begins here, Jen said. Tomorrow, Aldredan Mikmir will come to Embris and speak of Mikkik's treachery to all the pilgrims lining up for Echo Hold. They will carry the story to Tenswater. Using the portals, we can get fast riders to send the word to all of Rugoth and most of Kihol within 2 days, and tell them to bring soldiers to Mikmir. It will be war from the start. The church will block the use of the portals as soon as they find out, but we hope to make it difficult for them.
How? Maywen asked.
Mirelle grinned. By announcing an irresistible wedding, and inviting everyone in Kihol to attend.
And whose wedding will that be?
Aldredan Mikmir and my daughter. She has taken the name Alumira, then?
Yes, Maywen answered.
We have to get her consent, of course, Jen said. I won't have her marry against her will again.
I think gaining the Shalane's consent will be the easiest part of this plan of yours, Maywen said.
Dayson's been quite forward with his intentions concerning her. This will be a cruel blow to him.
He'll recover, Mirelle said, but we do need to talk to my daughter about all of this before tomorrow.
Come within the outer walls of the manor, Maywen said. There are too many threats that lurk out here in the dark.
There is one complication. Mirelle, you are a fugitive. Few know it as yet, but Regent Feldebrin is still divided about what Lady Alumira has told him. If he sways in another direction, he could try to detain her.
Try would be all he would do before Jen levelled his manor, Mirelle answered confidently. Part of our ruse is that Aldredan Mikmir rescued me from Echo Hold. I think my presence will only sway the regent to our side.
Maywen nodded. The manor is surrounded by pleasant little wilderness. On the northern side there is a low hill with a pavilion. I will bring her there. Gerund is on duty, but don't be surprised if Dayson comes looking for her when she wanders away. He is more like her pet than a protector.
Together they walked back to the road, and Jen offered Mirelle his arm as they travelled the short distance to the manor gate. A wall of mortared stones, 2 times as high as a man, surrounded the entire estate, encompassing several outbuildings and the forest for a mile in every direction. The soldiers of the regent still held power on the regent's property, and the swelling numbers of strangers in the town had required a similar increase of soldiers to patrol the regent's lands. Two lanterns hung from the walls by the arched entry, four soldiers standing at the ready by the closed gate. Maewyn approached first.
"These are two more members of Lady Alumira's party," Maewyn explained. "I have been waiting for them. We are ready to enter."
"Who are they?"
one of the guards asked.
"This is Amos and the Lady Alumira's mother, the former first mother of Rugoth."
Morel flashed them a smile, and the soldiers looked on in astonishment.
"We heard you were burned as a traitor, and then that you escaped."
"I was rescued," she replied, "by someone greater than us all. You will know more soon. Thank you for your watchful diligence. May we enter, please?"
The power of her pleasant, feminine beauty unlocked the gate and they passed through, the road inside the wall paved in cobble. They passed low barracks ensconced in trees where soldiers were quartered. Other buildings waited down wide forest tracks, lanterns casting lights among the trees. The road led steadily upward, night birds favouring them with their song. As they cleared a bend, they could make out the steeply sloped gables of the manor above the trees. Jen could sense the chalane there, and his heart rejoiced to see her again.
"Take the side path here northward," Maewyn instructed them. "Follow it until you reach the pavilion. I will come with the chalane as soon as I can."
Maewyn continued on toward the house, while Jen led Mirel down the dark path between the trees. She leaned into him, and an odd sorrow rose within him. He stopped and faced her, and she regarded him questioningly. He took her hands.
"Mirel," he said, "I need you to know something before we rush headlong into the whirlwind of trouble you and I have concocted together. You have been so kind and generous and loving to me that I could never repay you everything I owe you. You have cared for me, defended me, and rewarded me with every good thing you could. How you knew me well enough to know that I would love to spend my days in Blackshire, I can only guess. That you are willing to give me your best gift, your beloved daughter, stirs me with feelings I cannot give words to. You are the best and brightest of all women I have ever known, and please understand that if circumstances would have been different, you are just as beautiful to me as your daughter, and I would be just as happy and fortunate to wed the first mother of Rugoth. I would have loved you no less, Mirel. Do not think that just because I love the chalane that I do not love you. Earning the love of one beautiful woman is good fortune. Earning the love of two is a peculiar kind of torture." Mirel wiped her eyes. "I am sorry if I made this harder on you than it should have been."
"Don't apologize," Jen said. "I only grieve to see you alone. I owe you everything, and I want to see you happy.
Then marry my daughter. I am a mother, Jen, and I am no longer the first concern of my heart. I will take great joy in seeing her happy, especially knowing all the trouble and sorrow she has passed through with Shatan. That said, we do know that when you see me crying at your wedding, most of the tears will be for my daughter, but some few will be for me."
"One last kiss, then, before you become my intimidating mother-in-law?"
"I hoped you would ask."
To spare them both, Jen kept it short. He pressed his forehead against hers for several long moments, breathing in her scent, before pulling away and leading her forward. They walked in silence, winding around a low tree-covered hill until they found the pavilion that Maewyn had spoken of. It provided a good view of the surrounding area, the moon's hazy light playing evenly over the trees. The lights of the packed town and the manor house were bright pockets in the darkness. They sat together, Mirel leaning on his shoulder while they waited.
"Any advice you want to give me about your daughter before I marry her?"
"She has matured a great deal this last year," Mirel said. "I think you are wise enough and know her well enough that any advice I give you would be redundant. I really have no charge to give you other than to make her as happy as you can, and I don't believe you need to do much more than be yourself to do it. She trusts and loves you completely, and will be overjoyed to take your hand. She will at last get to do what was promised to her at her birth, marry the best of men."
"She is coming," Jen said, rising as he felt her near.
Mirel stood as well, straightening her dress and peering into the darkness. The chalane, Maewyn, and Gerund crested the hill, mother and daughter racing to each other and embracing, crying for joy. To Jen's surprise, Gerund approached him and extended his hand.
"Well met, brother," he said, smiling. "It is good to know that the best swordsman on Kihol has returned in these difficult times."
Jen took the hand, surprised.
"How did you know?"
"Your disguise isn't that good. Though without the scars, you aren't nearly as frightening as you were back then."
The Shalane also told me of your return, but I knew before then. Do Volney and Dyson know?
No,
he said. Should we inform them?
Not yet.
My condolences for your father. He will be missed.
I don't have words, Jen. They burned him just like they tried to do to the first mother. If I didn't have responsibilities here, I would ride for vengeance now.
We will make this right, Geraint.
Jen
turned just in time to catch the Shalane as she leapt into his arms and clamped onto him. Jen wrapped her up.
I knew you would save her, she said. I just knew it. Thank you.
You are welcome, he returned. It's good to see you again. I missed you. She moved in close to his ear.
We need to be alone so I can take this veil off and give you a proper welcome.
Geraint cleared his throat and they turned to find everyone smiling at them sloppily.
Why, Geraint, Mirel said, there was no need to interrupt them. I think it was just about to get more interesting. But we do have a lot to talk about and to do. Let's sit for a moment. Geraint, I understand that you know who Jen is. I will let you stay to hear this if you will swear that if you cannot support what we are about to do, that you will at least keep silent on the matter.
I swear it.
What do you intend to do, Mother?
The Shalane asked. Jen intertwined his fingers with hers.
We intend to take back Mic Mhir in a rather unorthodox way, Mirel explained. I'm afraid it involves you getting married to someone famous and a lot older than you.
The Shalane's fingers dug into Jen's hand.
I will not marry anyone except for love, Mother. How could you even think I would consider? Why are you all smiling?
Mirel asked, What if that person was Jen, dear?
I accept.
And would you still accept it if Jen was impersonating Aldredon Mic Mhir?
What?
Geraint and the Shalane said at once.
You heard me.
I would marry Jen if he were a gong scourer, but why Aldredon Mic Mhir?
As the First Mother explained her reasons, Jen watched the Shalane carefully, trying to gauge her reaction to the plan he and Mirel had carefully put together over the last 2 days. She had lived her entire life with a weight of expectations upon her, and probably wanted nothing more than to fade into a life of safety and solitude with those that she loved. As her mother talked, the Shalane leaned into him, her grip tight and her posture tense. She was frightened. Mirel continued.
Once Jen is on the throne as Aldredon Mic Mhir, and with you at his side, we should have enough support to put a good force into the field to see if we can stop this travesty. I can see Mickick sending an honoured and delighted Aethon into Eldaluri Mora, flanked by the nobles from 3 kingdoms. What a great laugh Mickick will have when Aethon destroys us all.
Maewyn broke in.
Jen, do we know what will happen if he uses the sword there? Lady Alumira heard Mickick say it was the destruction of Kihol. But how exactly?
Jen thought for a moment.
In lore, Eldaluri Mora is the heart of Kihol, the place from which Eldaloth's life-giving force flowed. When we were there, did you note the eternal blossoms on the trees? Once they bore fruit. When Mickick struck Eldaloth down, Eldaluri Mora and the world still lived. But the holy place was wounded in the same way I wounded Mickick. It is an injury that has no power to kill, but no power to heal either.
I saw the difference between the world before Eldaloth was struck down and after, the Shalane added. Aldemar showed it to me. Before Eldaloth died, the world was marvellous and vibrant, and it was a feeling more than anything, a vibrancy that filled Kihol. If Eldaluri Mora is what is left of Eldaloth, then destroying it will be dire in scope, I am sure. Its existence has tormented Mickick for centuries, but he needed my blood to finish it, and I gave it to him. Perhaps it would have been better that I died than let him take my blood as he did.
Jen pulled her close.
He would have had his blood one way or another. He was willing to bleed every living creature on Kihol dry until he had enough essence to do it.
This is our chance, now. That sword can destroy Eldaluri Mora. It can also destroy him. It will be out in the open during their journey, so it's time to turn the tables on Mickick and do to his caravan what he did to ours. They wanted the Shalane. We want the sword. I will lead what army we can muster in the next few days and take them east to do it. Mirel and the future Lady Mic Mhir will remain safely in Rugoth while I get this done.
Lady Mic Mhir, Mirel smiled. I like how that sounds.
It is settled, then. Tomorrow Jen will become Aldredon Mic Mhir. Maewyn will work with him to get the details of his clothing and armament right. The rest will be up to Jen. Remember, Jen, that you were to be a bard. It's time to review your lessons on theatricality and performance. You're about to put on an act like the world has never seen, and we need a virtuoso performance on the opening night.
It is bold and it is cunning, Gerund opined. But time is your biggest enemy. There is only one portal close to Echo Hold, and as soon as the church gets wind that there is a rebellion in the offing, they will guard that portal with everything they've got. Even if the word gets out that Aldredon Mickmere wants to muster men, a week will hardly be sufficient to organize everything, especially with most of the armies scattering and going home celebrating. Getting Mickmere under our control in that amount of time would be difficult. And why the need for the wedding? Though I can see it is a desired event.
The wedding serves a number of purposes, besides the obvious one of bringing two people who love each other together, Morel answered. At the very least, I hope it will draw some of the leaders away from the procession of glory, sparing them whatever horrific end Mickic has in mind. Given the choice of a 4 or 5 day journey through the wilderness, or a wedding celebration of a legend returned from the dead, we are hoping more than a few will choose the wedding. This will give us an opportunity to persuade them and get their support. Besides that, the massive influx of people through the portal will make it nearly impossible for the church to control it without causing a rebellion. If we can get the leadership to bring soldiers with them, then we will have the force ready to march. But your point about time is well taken, Gerund. The fighting for the portal to Echo Hold we cannot avoid, and I fear it will be bloody, but I hope to take Mickmere without shedding any blood whatsoever. How? Aldredon Mickmere will simply walk in and ask for it back. When he rides through the streets of Mickmere with the Shalane at his side, a mob will follow, and I am betting that the church will not want to dampen these festive times by engaging in a bloodbath of innocent people. Jen assures me he is powerful enough to make them miserable for trying. If all goes well, the wedding will take place in 5 days, and Jen will march the 6th day. There will be blood on the streets of Tenswater, but that cannot be helped. Once through the portal, they ride hard to catch the caravan. This all begins tomorrow, and we will be working through the night to prepare. Now, how stand matters with Regent Feldebrin?
He is still wavering, I'm afraid, the Shalane answered. We've worked at him all afternoon, but he fears repercussions to his estate since a portal to Tenswater is nearby, and I can't blame him.
Mirel sighed. I'll see what I can do. If I fail, then a personal visit from Aldredon Mickmere may be in order. Now let's leave Jen and the Lady Alumira together, since I don't believe the marriage proposal has been properly made yet. I have given Jen my consent to marry my daughter earlier. The party broke up, the Shalane hanging onto Jen until they left. Jen tried to calm his mind. Impersonating a legend would prove taxing, and he hardly knew where to start. But he tried to push his concerns aside as a beaming Shalane lifted her veil and greeted him properly as she promised. During all the planning with Mirel, he had failed to even consider that he would need to ask the Shalane to marry him in some proper manner. Since her first marriage was forced upon her, it would be doubly important to impress her.
Well, she asked, face expectant, don't you have something to ask me?
Lady Alumira.
You know, she interrupted, the lady on the front of the name makes it much too stuffy. Just call me Alumira, like you did back in our canyon days together.
Very well. Alumira. When I look back over the past 2 years of our acquaintance,
and I don't want some long, sloppy speech either, your actions toward me have said 1,000 times more than words ever could about your feelings.
He knelt before her.
Alumira.
Stand up, for pity's sake, she said, this time without mirth. You will never kneel before me, ever.
A little flummoxed, he stood and took her hands.
Will you marry?
Yes, of course I will. What took you so long?
She joked, greeting him properly several more times.
I've waited so long. This will be the best night of my life.
Just a few more days, Alumira, and you'll be back home and be a proper queen, just as it should be.
Not exactly correct,
she said, lowering her veil and guiding him away from the pavilion.
I will be home in a few days, and a proper queen in a few days, but I will be a married woman tonight.
What?
You heard me, she said. That wedding will be a big show for the world. The wedding tonight will be just for us. Regent Feldebrin's pure man lives just behind the manor, and I'm sure we can persuade him.
Are you sure? Jen asked.
Aren't you?
I just thought that since things turned out so miserably for your first marriage, that you would want something glorious this time, with a procession of knights and trumpets and screaming celebrants and a cake and good food and everyone telling you how beautiful your dress is.
She laughed. No. I just want you. You ride off to war in a week, and I will not spend another night alone, dreaming of how I want it to be. If I dream of you, I want to wake up and make the dreams real. I have sacrificed, and I have been patient, and I have stifled my feelings, and I am done with it all. I have longed for you for what seems like an age, and I will have my way tonight.
You're going to have to tell Dyson, he warned her.
Nothing says I don't love you, like marrying someone else.
I just hope he takes it honourably.
I really don't care, the Shalane said. I have suffered a great deal these last few days with all his fawning and bald-faced hints. The best mercy I can afford him is not to let him know how small he has become in my heart.
This will be a poor wedding night, Jen said. I have a lot of work to do before morning.
I know. Let's fetch the pure man quickly and be wed. I will retire to my chambers. You do what work you need to with Maywen. When you are finished, come to me. I will wait for you. I promise tonight will be memorable, even if there is no cake.
Jen smiled to himself as he and the Shalane descended the hill into the woods and worked their way around the manor house toward the small chapel at the rear. Few people frequented the estate, though Embrace's soldiers still patrolled the grounds thickly. The ancient pure man was still at work, cleaning the inside of the small stonework chapel. Lanterns bathed the ancient interior with a cheerier light, revealing the marks of age on the old edifice and its furnishings. The pure man eyed them both with a friendly smile and straightened himself with some effort.
"Good evening, Shalane," he said. "I received word that you were with us. I am honoured that you have come to see me. And who is this that you bring with you?"
"His identity is a great secret for now, but you may call him Amos," she answered. "And what is your name?"
"Pure man Talis," he answered.
"We have a favour to ask you," she continued. "We wish to be wed immediately."
He blinked, the unexpected request requiring some time to grind through his brain.
"To be married?"
"That is correct," the Shalane continued. "This instant, if you would."
"But aren't you just widowed?"
he asked. "It is true, but I assure you that what I ask of you now is the sincerest wish of my heart."
"And mine," Jen added.
Talis appeared stuck, his aged visage registering confusion. After sorting through his mind for an objection, he shrugged his shoulders.
"I am a poor country pure man for such an honour as this."
"We seek no other gift than your power to bind us," Jen added. "Will you do this?"
"If you wish it," he answered, "though it seems a hasty thing to me. Let me fetch the ribbon to bind you."
He shuffled off through a door, and they walked forward to the altar. There they waited for some time, the sounds of rummaging and muttering echoing through the empty chapel. At last he returned, a frustrated look on his face.
"I'm afraid I can't find it. I think that Haddis boy took it after his wedding 2 days ago."
Jen created one in his hand. "Will this do?" Talis regarded it with surprise.
"Yes, it will. Put your hands on the altar and I'll bind them together."
The old shaking hands took some time to get it right, and Jen smiled at the Shalane, who was unconsciously tapping her foot in impatience. At length Talis finished and stood behind the altar.
"This is most unusual," he said. "No one's even here to witness it."
"The two most important ones are here. Please proceed," the Shalane instructed. "And my name now is Lady Alumira Se Elunwe."
"Alumira, what?"
It took a few tries to get it right, but at last Talis seemed to get the hang of the unusual moniker.
"Since you are determined to proceed, let us do so promptly."
"Yes, please," the Shalane said,
Jen stifling a chuckle.
"I, Talis, pure man of the Church of the One, stand before you, duly authorized to bind you together as husband and wife. The tie which binds your hands represents the binding between your hearts that can only be broken when love is betrayed by a heart unfaithful or starved by a heart neglectful. It is a bond that shall be so soft as to afford peace and comfort, but of such strength to resist every hammer blow of life's afflictions. Are you prepared now to enjoy every pleasure, to endure every hardship, and to resist every evil as husband and wife?"
"Yes,"
the Shalane answered.
"Yes,"
Jen added.
"Then I, Talis, pronounce you, Amos, and you, Alumira Se
Ellenway, man and wife.
The Shalane leaped into Jen's arms.
I am married, and there were no demons, and no one died or anything.
The night is still young, Jen quipped.
The door creaking behind them turned their gaze, where they found it slightly ajar. No one was there.
The wind does that from time to time, Talis said. Now, let me go get my book and record this. Amos and Alumira, correct?
Yes.
Talis wandered off, and Jen lifted the veil and kissed the Shalane, who returned it passionately.
Now,
she said, voice teasing as she played her fingers over his chest,
do not be overly long with the half-elven hussy. I will retire, and when you are ready, use one of your little tricks to come up to my window. I'll show you the correct one. If you're very polite, I'll let you in.
I will be sure to say please, he said.
He led her back to the manor house where Maywin loitered outside. She fetched Gerund to take over her protection.
Remember, the Shalane said, don't stay out too late, and be polite.
Yes, Alumira, I will remember and obey all your instructions.
She left, and Maywin gave him a quizzical look before speaking with him in Elvish.
It is good to see her happy again, Maywin commented. She is an interesting girl. She is so young and simple, but has been thrust into such complex circumstances. Her protected life kept her naive, but hardships have tested and hardened her. I am glad that you will marry. It will be good for you both.
It will.
I do sorrow for Mirel, though. She loves you just as much as I think you are well aware.
Jen felt his heart sink.
I'm trying not to think of it just now.
I hope she can find love.
Maywin nodded.
As do I. Many men would marry her, but I think she will go to her grave alone.
Let's get to work,
Jen suggested, not wanting to revisit his feelings for Mirel. Maywin led him into the trees, and they found a small clearing away from the stone wall. The moonlight was strong in the hazy light, the night birds singing softly in the still air. Maywin sat on a stump.
I assume you will use Triss magic to create the armor and sword you need?
Yes.
The detail of the sword you have seen. The armor of Aldradan's later years was extremely ornate, with a filigreed eagle on the breastplate and greaves. The shield had one too. You may find this exhausting.
It must be done.
Before we begin, do you know what errand Dacen is about?
I've been with the Shalane.
Perhaps the First Mother sent him somewhere. Why do you ask? He rode away from the manor not long before you came. He appeared angry, and I wondered if he'd been dismissed or sent on an unwanted quest. I just found it peculiar that one so pegged to the Shalane's side would leave her. I'll ask Mirel about it tomorrow. Let's begin. I'll try to be as descriptive as possible, so you don't need to do many alterations. We need to get you to bed. You've had a long journey and will need your rest tonight.
Yes. I would like to retire as soon as possible.